testify late Wednesday after FSRN goes to broadcast. Alice Olstein, Free Speech Radio News, Washington.
The father of a Chechen man killed in Florida by law enforcement officers is looking for answers to why his son was shot multiple times. The May shooting happened during an interrogation of 27-year-old Ibrahim Todashev at his home. FBI agents wanted to know about his relationship to one of the Boston Marathon bombers. Now his father, Abdulbaki Todashev, is hoping to compel prosecutors to press charges against those responsible for his son's death. FSRN's Janelle Irwin has more.
The Orlando area state attorney announced last week he was launching an independent review of the shooting, but wouldn't comment further on the case. This follows pressure from civil rights groups that the Justice Department intervene after the FBI said it would conduct its own internal investigation. Yvette Acosta McMillan is a staff attorney with the ACLU of Florida.
One of the arguments that we put in for an independent investigation was that the FBI should not be investigating itself. There was a New York Times report after much research that indicated that the last 150 shootings involving FBI agents, after the FBI conducted investigations, they were all determined to be justified.
Abdulbaki Todashev retained Tampa attorneys Barry Cohen and Eric Luden, who, along with the Florida Council on American Islamic Relations, revealed some details of an investigation they conducted with the help of private investigators and an ex-cop. The results suggested that the Todashev's son, Ibrahim, did not have a weapon, as the FBI previously reported. CARE Florida Executive Director Hassan Shibley says there have also been sources within involved departments who have confirmed that.
Well, I think what's clear is that our sources within the Department of Justice and the FBI have said that it appears he was unarmed when this whole thing happened. And remember, the onus is on the FBI. If they're questioning somebody who they believe is dangerous, which we have no reason to believe he was dangerous, but if they're questioning somebody in his home, I think it's the onus is on them to make sure the area is secure. And if they didn't, then they didn't do a professional job, and policies need to be changed. People need to be reprimanded.
The ACLU, Todashev's attorneys, and CARE's Shibley have requested reports from the medical examiner's office in Orlando.
However, the FBI barred the medical examiner's office from releasing that report,
even to the family,
and that was very upsetting. Now I think we tend to understand the reason it was barred is potentially because of the criminal investigations, and in fact it was barred because of the criminal investigation potentially into the officers involved, as we understand it.
The elder Todashev sat quietly through the press conference, occasionally dabbing his eyes with a tissue and sniffling. He briefly addressed the media through a translator, calling his son a good boy.
I came to America to rely on American legal system. That I will be able to pursue and achieve the justice for my son. I hope and pray that no mother and no father will ever have to endure and go through what I'm going through right now.
Мой сын очень хорошим мальчиком был. Он невиновен. Его просто убили.
My son was a very good boy and he is innocent and he was simply killed.
Todashev had planned on returning to Russia this week, but his attorneys asked that he extend his stay until they're able to meet with the Orlando area state attorney to discuss the investigation. That meeting has not been set, and it's unclear when a decision will be made about possible criminal charges. Todashev's attorneys say they are also considering a wrongful death civil suit. Janelle Irwin, FSRN, Tampa.
And that's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Kopp. Thanks for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Dorian Marina.
And you're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and streaming live on WBAI.org. Ordinarily, at this time, you'd be listening to Earthwatch with Robert Knight. Unfortunately, Robert is unable to be with us this evening. So we are going to present a slightly edited, well, because it wouldn't fit, this two-hour program wouldn't fit in a 90-minute slot, but we're going to listen to most of the report to the listener that took place last Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., explaining the layoffs and the situation at WBAI with some listener phone calls, Andrew Phillips and interim executive head of Pacifica, Summer Reese, reporting. So let's listen now to this rebroadcast, a report to the listener. I think it's important, actually, that we bring this to various time slots because I know everyone listening right now might not have been available to listen to this when it was first heard, but it is something you need to know about if you listen to WBAI.
Hi, this is Summer Reese, Interim Executive Director of the Pacifica Foundation and Chair of the National Board. And I'm here in studio with Michael G. Haskins and Andrew Phillips. And we're going to do a report to the listener for the next couple of hours on what's going on here at WBAI and take call in from the listeners in a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's really no introduction here, so I guess I'll just go ahead and start. As many of you know who've been listening to the station for a long time and particularly paying attention to what's been going on over the past several months, especially since Hurricane Sandy last year, we've been suffering tremendously under many difficulties and burdens. And the community has supported us and stepped up and, you know, provided us with temporary studio facilities and many, many gracious things to support the operations of WBAI. Nonetheless, we've come close to losing our transmitter a few months ago. And we have not been able to fully recover, not only from the hurricane, but from many years of financial distress at this radio station. It's with great sadness that I have to tell the WBAI listening audience here in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut that many of the voices that you've been listening to for many years will no longer be on the air as of next week. We've come directly from union negotiations with SAG-AFTRA. We've been working very diligently to find alternatives to various economic exigencies which are confronting this station. And where we find ourselves is in a position where I think everyone will agree, the staff that is affected, the volunteer programmers, and the listening audience, where we're doing everything we can to save the radio station, to continue to have a WBAI in New York City, a Pacifica radio station, a community-based radio station, a station which serves progressive and radical and alternative viewpoints and dissects what's going on in the larger culture. And that has been a real struggle, and it continues to be a struggle. Today, I have concluded union negotiations with SAG-AFTRA regarding proposed layoffs here at WBAI. And with a very heavy heart and very great difficulty, we will be laying off virtually everyone whose voice you recognize on the air who is a paid programmer. This includes the vast majority of paid programming in the daytime. It will include the news broadcast, which I know from a great deal of feedback from the listening public is very important to the New York City audience. We do not have the ability to continue payroll at this station without making these layoffs. We have barely made our transmitter payments. And in fact, right now, we'll probably be taking the money which is set aside for the transmitter payment this month to make the current payroll next week. There will be inevitably many programming changes coming immediately, starting on Monday. Most of your familiar hosts in the daytime who shows you value will not even have the opportunity to really say goodbye to you, for which I am deeply sorry. We value the many people who make WBAI the station that it is and has been for all these many years since it was given to the Pacifica Foundation in the early 1960s. And we particularly value the service that has been given to this station and to you, the listening audience, by our many valued paid programmers, our news department, and many behind-the-scenes employees who make it possible to broadcast this station to you. Approximately 75% of the staff will be laid off. We are only retaining those staff critically necessary to operational functions of the station. Excuse me. However, I'm terribly sorry. However, it's the goal of Pacifica to see to it that we continue to serve you, the listening audience, the public, which has always supported WBAI, that we continue to provide programming which is mission-centric and which serves the alternative political viewpoints, cultural tastes, and needs of our audience. And we're going to do our very best to do that, to continue continuity of programming with things that we hope you will value and appreciate and which will serve your needs. We will inevitably go through many changes over the next few months. The program scheduling changes, which will inevitably occur starting Monday, will be significant and dramatic for the audience as well as for our staff. We ask you to bear with us as we go through these changes. The things which we will have to put on the air will not necessarily serve all of the same demographic needs, nor will they fill everything which is being taken away. We are in a position where we must put things up on the air in order to continue broadcasting, which are already available and produced and ready to play, and for which we do not have to pay because we no longer have the ability to do so. We will invariably make additional changes later on, probably in about 3 months, and we will continue to adjust going forward. We have successfully moved all of our administrative operations into our building in Brooklyn, and we are beginning to settle in there. We're still broadcasting from our lovely colleague's home in Harlem at WHCR using their facilities. We hope by the end of the year to be able to at least begin to broadcast from our Brooklyn facility so that we can bring our family back together under one roof, because particularly with our limited staff resources, which we will have following these layoffs, it'll be even more important to bring the WBAI community together in one location. We will, of course, continue to rely upon our many hundreds of volunteers, programmers, people who come in and fill envelopes and send them out to you, the listeners, when you generously pledge your support for the radio station and get your thank you gifts out to you. Many of these functions are performed by volunteers, and even many of our paid staff have pledged their commitment to continue working with the station and supporting its operations, even while losing their jobs, something which is unheard of in other business environments, and for which Pacifica is truly unique, in which we are all involved because of our love for the station, our love for the world, and for each other, and what makes this any type of free society, which is to have a venue for critical analysis, for free people to speak their minds, to criticize what the government does all the time to its own citizens, to discuss things which are culturally isolated by a corporate media, which has no time for things which do not fit neatly into a box. That's who we are. That's why everyone is involved with this station and with this network. I'm going to take a drink of water because it's terrible to cry this much on air. What's led us to this situation is invariably many, many different things. But if one deduces them to pure numbers, WBAI has run a substantial financial deficit for every one of the last 10 years. The last time the station broke even was in 2003. During that time period, of course, we were located on Wall Street, an incongruous location for a station of our type, and one which was incredibly expensive. That is no longer the case. I could use a tissue. And we're no longer in that location. It's going to take some additional months to transition to where we are completely in one location and not in two. But we have a new home in Brooklyn, a lovely home on Atlantic Avenue, with gracious people who are so supportive of this station. There's really no describing it. And a place which, in the long run, I think can be a permanent new home for WBAI and its community. And we are going to continue to work towards that. As part of this transition process, I have brought in someone who has a long-standing history with WBAI, with Pacifica Radio, with alternative media, and with the entire, I would say, progressive community and environment. Someone who was a former program director here at WBAI during one of its best periods of breaking, groundbreaking stories and important political news, who has a deep understanding of who we are politically and culturally, and WBAI in particular within the Pacifica Network and where it is in New York. And I've brought this gentleman, who was our program director for almost 4 years, back into the station to help to shepherd us through this very difficult time period with his deep understanding of our radio station and of the many, many different communities that it serves. I'd like to pass the mic off to Andrew Phillips, former program director at WBAI, recently interim general manager at KPFA, and someone who's brought some of the most incredible things to our air, including bringing Amy Goodman into our news department in a meaningful fashion, breaking, you know, the Iran-Contra story in terms of shepherding everyone who was involved with that, who has a deep programming background and intuitively understands the nature of Pacifica programming, and as well as involved with permaculture and many exciting things, and has always been involved in alternative media from the beginning of his career. Andrew Phillips will be our interim program director to see us through this very difficult transition period, which will undoubtedly involve many, many changes. And I'd like to pass it over to Andrew for a moment. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Summer. It's with the great pleasure and sadness that I'm sitting here today. Mixed feelings, but I want to move forward. From today on, I want to reach out to all of the producers who've spent so much time and energy at WBAI, keeping this radio station on the air. I know it's been a struggle. I've been listening online from California, not knowing that I would be sitting here today listening to the struggle of this station, and frankly, it sounded sad. Well, it's over. New day. We have to move forward. I don't have to tell you why. NSA. Edward Snowden. Bradley Manning. Drones flying overhead, scaring the hell out of people in Pakistan and around the world. Glenn Greenwald. Julian Assange. You all know what I'm talking about. You all know that other stations don't carry these stories the way Pacifica carries them, not just on WBAI, but on thousands of stations around this country and around the world. Amy Goodman came out of this station. She's now on over 1,000 stations, the most important progressive radio station in this country. And we should be proud to know that we were the incubator of that and many other programs in the past, and we will be in the future. Now, in the meantime, however, we've got to grit our teeth, we've got to buckle up, we've got to buckle down, and we have to move forward, and we will. We will move forward. Now, there will be a lot of changes this coming Monday. It won't be seamless. We'll have our problems, but we'll get 80% of it done. We mightn't get 100, but we sure will get some of it done, and we will start to move forward in a progressive, organized fashion. You'll hear a lot of new voices. Many of them will be Pacifica voices from other stations. We know that in the past that the programming format at WBAI has proven to be, I won't say not successful, it hasn't raised the money that the station needed to keep it afloat. And having said that, I also have to acknowledge that the amount of money that WBAI has needed and continues to need to stay afloat is substantially more than other stations. And so we've been handicapped here. However, this is a huge market, and we need to adapt and change. In permaculture, we say the problem can be the solution. Now, we know that we're in a political climate here, for instance, in New York City, where we have a huge Spanish-speaking audience. And that audience in the future will be the audience across this country which will determine the next election. So we need to reach out to our Dominican brothers and sisters, our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters, our Mexican brothers and sisters, our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, along with all of our other people that have listened and will continue to listen to this radio station. We need to reach out more deeply into our communities. And when we talk about community radio, it's a rather ambivalent term, isn't it? Are we a radio station that opens our doors to permit all kinds of community potential producers into the station to explore radio? The answer is yes, we are, but we're not just that. We're also a radio station that finds the best voices that we can, people that can communicate heart to heart with communities and explore and expand our audience. And that requires, frankly, a certain amount of artistic, entertainment, and professional ability and skill. And not everybody's got it. Radio is an entertainment and an educational media. It's both things. And if we don't fill both those functions, then we're not going to get our audience. We're just simply not going to attract the audience that we have to attract if we're going to not survive. I don't want to talk about survival. We're talking about flourishing and abundance. We're talking about reaching out across communities, across the world, on the internet. It's a different media platform than when I was at WBAI 20 years ago, I have to say. It's a very different media platform that we're dealing with today. And I'm excited by those possibilities. And I have to say that Bertold, his work that he's done on the internet with the staff that he's brought in at very little cost, I might add, far less than at KPFA, for instance, where I just came from, they've done a terrific job. I would venture to say that the website progress at this station is the best in the network. I would say that the executive director you heard has just speak to you under great difficulty. We rushed up here in a cab, literally walking out of those union negotiations. That's why we were late. Why were we late? Because Bertold had to speak to people. He had to spend time with people. He had to tell them what was going on, which he did and continues to do. And we were a little bit late. There's a real sense of commitment to the past staff, as there will be to the present, and the new staff and the new programming, and to you most importantly, because that's what it's about. We stand on the shoulders of giants. 65 years here at WBAI in New York City. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and it's now our turn. We are the stewards of this radio station, this free access voice, this free speech medium, and we need to keep the channels open. That's what ultimately it's about. I left WBAI in 1993. I went away for 20 years. 20 years I was away. But I kept listening. I kept my ear to the ground and surprisingly found myself asked to come back to Berkeley, which is an incredible station. It has its problems too, trust me. But it was an incredible experience, and I came back to New York City. I was asked to help out at WBAI, and I'm proud and pleased, as I said, and saddened at the same time to be here. I don't want to talk very much more, Summer. I think you may want to say something, but soon I think we want to take some phone calls.
Yes, I would like to take some phone calls, and I promise not to. I promise to have it all under control just a little bit better, and I'm happy to answer any questions from the listeners. I think, you know, I've gotten a lot of email from listeners as news of impending layoffs have spread out into the community because people do value this station so much. And I think part of the awareness that needs to be understood, Pacifica itself is at a critical juncture in its history as to whether each individual station survives and whether the network as a whole continues to exist at all. I currently have 4 out of 7 units which do not have their payroll for next week. For next week, I'm looking to find $100,000 by Monday. And that's where we're really at. And WBAI is one of those stations where we have to choose between paying the admittedly exorbitant transmitter tower fees here, which are unparalleled anywhere else in the network. There is nowhere else in the network where we pay $50,000 a month just to transmit our signal. And couple that with the incredibly high rent that we just recently got out from under. And of course, the cost of staff. And that is where we're at. There are commercial interests which pant to get these signals because we have such beautiful signals. We have such strong signals. We have the very, very best and finest signals in the very best markets in the entire country. And there are commercial interests that would love to see us, if not go under, certainly be diminished to such an extent that we would not reach any large capacity audience. And that's what we're trying to prevent here. And also, I can't have people work that I can't pay. It's a basic fundamental of labor. You have to compensate people for their labor. And we're at a point where I have to hunt and figure out how will I make everyone's payroll next week. And it's that critical. It's that close to the edge. A fifth station would have been without its payroll next week, except someone passed away and left some money to the station a couple of months ago, and I authorized liquidation of that stock this week so that they'll have their payroll next week. And that's truly where this network is at this moment. It can recover. It can become better. It's suffered under many things over the last decade that can be improved upon. And It's at that point where you have to make those very, very, very difficult decisions in order to ensure the survival of something you care about, and that's where we're at. I think it's incredibly important to keep WBAI on the air with this signal, at this frequency, with its incredible capacity, and yes, hopefully to reach a larger audience soon so that we can survive, so that we can stay on the air. Because you can't not reach a larger audience in New York City and actually survive. Everyone who lives here knows that. It's the most competitive city in the whole country. It costs so much more to live here and to do business here than it does everywhere else. And that's just a fact of life in New York. So even with an incredible reduction in staff, we still have to bring in close to $2 million a year, even to keep the station on the air. And so these are incredible challenges that we're dealing with. And yet, we've been broadcasting for all of these decades, and the community still continues to show so much love for this station. And I have to say, I mean, my thanks and gratitude to all of the staff members who have dedicated so much of their lives and professional careers to this station, and so many of whom will not be with us as of next week, and how grateful I am to them for their service to Pacifica. And one of them today, in the midst of being laid off, was thanking me for how grateful she was to Pacifica for the opportunities it had given her to grow in her career professionally and to learn things and to be able to do stories and explore topics that you can't do in other media outlets. And that is the truth. We are so unique and we're so important to that dialogue that exists in the media landscape where everything's been consolidated, where there are no differing opinions except on the internet. But we still have these broadcast signals and they're fantastic and they reach such a large area. And so we hope that you, the listening audience, that you'll bear with us as we go through these growing pains, because that's what we're doing. We're having to make dramatic changes very quickly and still manage to survive and continue as an organization and not lose this radio station and have it go away from the airwaves entirely. And that's what we're working towards. I'm 100% committed to keeping WBAI on the air in New York City as a Pacifica radio station doing what it's been doing for its entire existence. And that's what we're trying to do here, even though there are going to be such tremendous changes in what you hear on the air beginning so quickly. So we would like to take listener call-ins. I will happily answer any questions that I'm able to as fully as I'm able to. Obviously Andrew can do the same, but I have this strange feeling so many of them are going to come to me as the executive director interim. We're here for you, the listeners. We care about you and all of our people here. And it's an open dialogue. So please call in at 212-650-5782. You are the community. You are WBAI. You are what makes us exist at all. And we are here only to serve you. This is a service industry of its own, to serve the listening public with information it doesn't get anywhere else. So please, please call in 212-650-5782, and we will take your questions.
Yes, we will. There are so many issues that we need to be touching on. Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, Leonard Peltier, Pelican Bay over there on the West Coast and the hunger strikers, Guantanamo. I mean, there are so many issues that are just not covered by the mainstream and are covered by Pacifica and will continue to be covered. And with your help and your encouragement, we will continue to do that. It's really important, we know that, to keep this free voice open to future generations to make sure that we can do the work that needs to be done. Michael, do we have any callers?
Hi, you're on the air. Or maybe you're on the air. Hello, listener. We're trying here. Bear with us, as we hope you'll bear with us with everything else that we're going through right now. Hi, you're on the air. Hello. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes. My name's John Riley. I'm a WBAI local station board rep, representing staff. And the question I have for you, Maurice, is that you said earlier in the call that there was a cash flow problem of more than $100,000 network-wide. And I was looking at the 2012 budget for the network, which estimated that there was going to be more than $960,000 in CDB funding for that year, right? We're in a future fiscal year. My question is, what if this, like, the current application to get CPP funds is more than 6 months late, according to all sorts of reports, including those that are on current.org online magazine that covers public radio and TV? And so what I'm wondering is, when is that money going to come in? And because clearly this would solve the immediate cash flow problem for the station. And I'm, yeah, and maybe you can explain why this is so late.
Certainly, John. Hi. Thank you. I'm glad to answer that. I'm sure that's a question in many listeners' minds. I know you, so thank you for calling in. And obviously, many of our financial difficulties, as well as all the rest of our difficulties, have been in the media several times in the last few months. So to address the CPB issue, most of that funding was front-loaded with the December disbursement in December of 2012, which I did all the paperwork on, and we did get that disbursement for the vast majority of stations. That was a decision made on the part of CPB to front-load the disbursement in the front half of the first disbursement instead of the second one. Where we are currently is the audit for the Pacifica Foundation is significantly late. I have had two high-level conferences with CPB within the last three weeks. It is unlikely that we will be penalized for the second part of the 2012 disbursement. They will release it upon completion of our certified financial audit. It is likely that we will most likely be fined in the disbursement for next year, because of the lateness of our audit. I came in as executive director, again, interim, because if I don't say that, everyone will crucify me, and I know that, in August of 2012. I cannot obviously speak to personnel matters on the air, but suffice it to say that, according to our auditors, these are the most difficult books that they have encountered in a 20-year professional career. They were out of balance by $1.2 million when I took the helm of the organization. Many accounts had not been reconciled in over a year at the time I took the helm. So there was an entire backlog of accounting to be done in order to have books which could be audited. They were unauditable at the beginning of the year. They were not reconciled. It has taken staff accountants, including a CPA, all of this year to reconcile those books so that they were in an auditable condition. And that is where it has been at. The board did not appoint an interim CFO to assist me in running the organization. I ran it for 9 months with no CFO whatsoever. When I came in, payroll was incorrect and not correctly calculated for various units for something along the lines of 6 payroll periods. I corrected that. Payroll has been correct since last year. Day-to-day functional operations were not functioning smoothly, shall we say. Those things have been addressed. So suffice it to say that there were many aspects of the financial and administrative functionality of the organization at the national level and flowing down to the local levels as well, which were not up to date and properly conducted. A few months into my tenure as interim executive director, our corporate status was suspended. That was for failure to file a necessary tax document for the preceding 7 years. These things have simply all come to roost since I have been in charge of the organization, but they point to years of functional deficiency within the organization. It is difficult to take something that broken and fix it as quickly as it needs to be fixed. I would say that we are significantly along the road to recovery in terms of addressing those functional issues. However, they have caused the audit to be significantly late. We've had a CFO only for the last 3 months, and we have just received a draft audit report this week and anticipate a final audit report as of next week. And we'll be filing our AFRs with the CPB immediately following. And
what's AFR?
I'm sorry, it stands for Audited Financial Report. It is the financial reports required by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which are directly tied to the numbers in your certified audit and 990 tax return. So if you do not have a certified audit, you don't have any numbers to plug into your AFRs, and CPB can't give you any money. They have been, in my opinion, extremely generous-spirited towards us in terms of understanding the tremendous difficulty that I found the organization in and working with us. But of course, they have their own internal guidelines as to disbursement calendars and things which require our financial reporting. I anticipate continued assistance and cooperation from them, and we will be submitting our reports as soon as we get them back from the auditor. However, to address a truly practical matter, even when that money comes in, because they front-loaded the disbursement for the last audit year.
Sorry to interrupt. What does that mean, front-loaded?
Oh, I'm sorry. It means that they gave us the majority of the money in December, so there isn't a lot coming that in the secondary disbursement from last year's funding. Our payroll here in New York City, including benefits, runs $120,000 per month. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the CPB money upon which we are waiting is not enough to cover operational expenses in New York City for 1 month. WBAI has run a deficit in six figures for most of the last 10 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. This includes all of its own expenses without it contributing anything virtually to the shared expenses of the network as a whole, which includes things like processing its payroll, handling all these things which affect all of the stations. WBAI has been unable to meaningfully contribute to any of the shared expenses in a decade, but beyond that, it frequently is not able to cover its own expenses. This has resulted in a structural deficit within the organization, which has jeopardized and undermined the survivability of the entire network, including the other four radio stations, the Pacifica Radio Archives, and our provisioning of programming for nearly 200 affiliates. To put it in perspective, the national office has drained all of its financial resources, continuously covering payroll in New York City, which New York was unable to fund. This has happened over and over again in the 1 year that I have been the executive director. I cannot now count the number of times that we have actually covered the payroll from my office. We have no funds left at the national office. We have completely stripped the last account, which held investment funds that had been left in what would, in a normal organization, be an endowment. But we don't have any endowment because no one before me was willing to take this situation in hand and address the fact that an organization, whether progressive or business or of any stripe whatsoever, cannot continue while running hundreds of thousands of dollars in deficits per year at one unit. And so what's happened is the structural integrity of the organization, and there is no one working at the national office anymore who worked there when I came in as the executive director. It is entirely new staff. All of the resources at the national level, which might have gone for things such as a national program director to help guide and nurture programming throughout the network, which would serve the audience, or human resources director, which might have helped steer us clear of hundreds of thousands of dollars in litigation, which have drained the resources of this network at multiple stations as one lawsuit after another has been brought against Pacifica. And I will tell you from an employment perspective, your insurance carrier lets you go straight up to that six-figure deductible before they pay a dime.
Once again, can you explain that, the deductible? How
sure.
That works?
So in employment coverage, previously we had a $125,000 deductible on any employment case, which meant if someone sued us, we had to pay $125,000 out of pocket before the insurance carrier covered it. But we've had so much litigation in Pacifica that last year, it took me about 2 months working with our broker to find an insurance carrier who would cover us because we were turned down by over 30 carriers. And now our deductible is $250,000 instead of $125,000 because we are such a poor risk and from an insurance perspective. So that's where our deductible is now on an employment claim. Right. We're still paying off hundreds of thousands of dollars in litigation costs. There are many emails going around decrying the hiring of an anti-union busting law firm, Jackson Lewis. The board passed a motion, I want to say a year and a half, 2 years ago, certainly before I held this position, directing my predecessor, that we would not use Jackson Lewis on any additional employment cases. They were selected by our insurance carrier, not by us, because they represent employers, and we had so much employment litigation. But we're still paying off Jackson Lewis. We have law firms ready to sue us because of all of the unpaid legal fees that we can't pay, including ones right here from New York City.
We owe Democracy Now! A lot of money, too, don't we?
Oh, Democracy Now! Is our going concern, which hopefully we will take off our books somehow. It's close to $2 million owed to Democracy Now! At this point, because the contract is so incredibly high for that program. It costs us $4,000 a month just for the satellite carriage fees, and it's $650,000 a year on the contract for Democracy Now! So our inability to pay that contract means that we end up with it's close to $2 million now on our books in debt. And of course, that prevents us from doing things like moving our radio stations, getting loans, being able to negotiate in the financial world. Because when people in the real world look at our books and they say, wow, you have a going concern. And a going concern means a note from an auditor that says, we don't know if you can continue in business any longer. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe our present auditors may take that off our books because, in fact, the reality is we can liquidate assets, and then we're not in debt to Democracy Now! Or anybody else anymore. And what are those assets? Those assets are the licenses, WBAI, the buildings in California. But the real value is in the licenses, so let's be real. A building might be worth $2 or $3 million, and that's just what we owe to Amy Goodman. The licenses, although they've dropped by at least half from 5 years ago because of the changes in the media market, mm-hmm. A good license in a major market still worth $60 or $70 million, maybe 15 or 20 if you swap it for some signal that you can't hear in more than one or two boroughs. Mm-hmm. Well, that ends up being what people look at when you're in this much trouble. And I have to say that my commitment is to see to it that WBAI continues to hold its license.
Can we take another phone call?
Yes.
Good.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'm waiting. I'm Dr. Block.
Hi, Dr. Block.
I teach at William Patterson University. Shall I talk now?
Yes, please do so. Thank you.
Well, I first want to say I wish to really tell you that, in my opinion, the people were wonderful. The programming was so diverse. I must say that when I heard Gary Noel constantly disparage the station, I really resented. Maybe he knows his work, and I know him. We both graduated from the same university for a doctorate. But I have compassion. Hello?
Yes, we're still listening, Dr. Block. Go
right.
Ahead, please.
And he doesn't broadcast from the Empire State. He does this from his... he said you can call him from your phone or whatever it is, and I urge you, I beg you to consider, forget the expensive Empire State. Most people now, even people my age, they play with their, wherever they go. I went to a doctor's office today. All the older people play with their machines. They can certainly hear all your programs on computer or on phone and eliminate that $55,000. Also, I'm so pleased that you mentioned the expenses. I didn't realize, maybe we should have known earlier, all of the expenses so that we as listeners could have written in and said, well, look, maybe you should cancel this or that to help you. I was shocked to hear about Amy Goodman. I knew her years ago, and she was on WBAI. She got her start from WBAI.
Yes.
And to demand $2 million from you, how disgusting. I mean, here's a woman who has 1,000 stations. She can be more generous. How disgusting. And I've respected her. I've listened every day. But now that I hear what you've been through, what you're going through, I'm ashamed of her. And people like that who flaunt, you know, how wonderful WBAI is, and you should listen. And behind the scenes, they're milking the station. And I urge you to think over, forget the Empire State Building. Go to people, even if you have to. You know, in all the years that I've listened, no one has ever sent a list of what programs do you like or not like. They just say, what would you like to hear? But nobody ever said in a letter to all of us what program, what specifically. So we never had input in it. And we don't live near Wall Street. And so I live in New Jersey, and it's very hard for me to get there. But I'll do anything I can to help in any way. I know in my teaching, I tell my students and other faculty members about WBAI, and I think you're all marvelous. I also have to say, this gentleman who was talking before, who 20 years, he said that some of the people are not great and so on. I disagree with him. I think that they're all wonderful people. As far as the finances are concerned, that's sad. But I don't think these producers understand finance. I was an economics major in Queens College. And, you know, unless you have an interest in the financial assets and liabilities of an organization, your major function is to talk to the people, to discuss. So I don't think that WBAI should be blamed for that. And as far as Atlantic Avenue, that's marvelous. My wife's son and daughter-in-law live not far from Atlantic Avenue, and hopefully people in that area will respond. And, you know, you've had so many donors. I remember years ago Carol Goodman, Burkdorf Goodman. She was one of the directors of Pacifica. You must have some people who have financial means, some of these actors, Baldwin and so on. Maybe they can add, but I really feel, don't give up. You and if you're crying, I'm crying with you, and don't be ashamed of it. It's a marvelous, marvelous station, and I don't want to hear anybody put down any of the people. They're marvelous producers. I think we owe so much to WBAI, and I just hope that there could be new thinking about the use of the computer and the use of the electronic, and not that I'm swift with that. I'm learning myself. So I wish you the best. I wish all of us the best, and I wish that there were endowments. I'm sure that universities. I wrote a book on history, and I'm trying to call different universities on it for students. And I'm sure if the same thing could be done to write to universities, and to, I will even try to do that for you, to ask endowments and help for a radio station. And of course, the economy is really the enemy number one, and the terrible wars. And it isn't WBAI or the New York City. It's a horrible, horrible situation in the world. And we can't control that, and you can't control that, unless the American people just stop wasting money on war and put it to all the things that you need and everybody else needs. And I wish you the best, and my heart is with all of you at WBAI. And if there's anything that I can do, I certainly would do it. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Dr. Block, so much for all of your support and love for the station, which I think we all feel. I mean, we all value the commitment of all of our producers and of the public. And I obviously hope Amy will be generously inclined towards her distressed home station that originally launched Democracy Now! And I believe we will get through all this, honestly. I think this is a very difficult period in the history of the station, but it is resilient and it has so much community support that I know that we can get to the other side of this and continue broadcasting all of the wonderful program that is produced by so many people who care so much. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. My name is Mario Rodriguez. I'm calling from Union City, New Jersey, right across the Hudson River.
Thank you, Mario.
A member of BAI and listen to BAI probably, I don't know, 16 years now, maybe even longer. And, you know, as I'm listening to the announcement of these layoffs and programming changes, the first thing that comes to mind is how much notice were the workers given? I mean, because we have listeners to find out on a Friday at the end of a fundraiser drive, when we're being urged to donate to programs that we listen to, that some of those programs may not be around on Monday, it's pretty disingenuous. It's a straight up lie. So why hasn't the community been consulted around the layoffs? This is listener community sponsored radio. I've never heard a debate around laying off staff. I've never heard of anyone talking about programs that could possibly be eliminated. there was no discussion on the air in which we were notified that workers are possibly going to be laid off. I mean, where's the transparency in all of this? Where is the community involved? You bring in, you guys are bringing in people from KPFK. Who are you bringing in from New York City to run the station? Who are you bringing in from the community to help get the station running? You're talking about reaching out to the community. I mean, we've known for a long time. You've cut Spanish programming. Where is the Spanish programming? I mean, let's be realistic here. What's the recall notice on these layoffs? Right? Are these people going to be recalled? Because I'm a union organizer. I've been an organizer for many, many years. You get laid off, there's generally a recall notice. So what's the possibility of return of the staff? Who's getting laid off? Right? Right? What programs aren't going to be on Monday? Because you're talking about, well, there's going to be major changes. Let's hear them. What are the major changes? Where is the transparency?
Thank you, Mario. Okay, I'll address those questions as best as I can. I was here in March for nearly a month. I met with staff on multiple occasions at that time and clearly articulated the long-standing deficit situation that had been occurring in New York. Some staff expressed that they had not been aware of how deep the crisis was or that other radio stations in the network had on a somewhat regular basis been covering their payroll, or that the national office had stripped all of its resources to cover the payroll in this station. We have been in extended union negotiations. I am on my third round of bargaining with the union here and with the staff. This is not taking the paid staff by surprise, nor has it come suddenly. There's inevitably, obviously, always some difficulty in situations like this as you work your way towards what inevitably needs to be done based on the factual circumstances. The factual circumstances are I borrowed the payroll last week from another radio station. That's how the staff was paid out here in New York. The factual circumstances are, despite all of this fundraising, we will have to make a choice between paying for the antenna rent this week or paying payroll next week. My grandfather was a union official all of his life with the San Francisco Longshoremen's Union. He's credited with integrating the union. I come from a union background. I have favorably renegotiated the union contracts at other stations. This has nothing to do with being against labor. I'm the most pro-labor person to ever run this organization in likelihood. This is the reality of not knowing how you're going to pay people the next payroll period. And the most anti-labor thing you can do is to keep people working and not pay them. And that's what we're talking about here. The recall provisions of the contract are 18 months. This station has been running a structural deficit, again, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars per year for 10 straight years, without having a single year in that entire decade where it broke even. That is what we're talking about. Clearly, we could not have a protracted discussion on the air of personnel matters with the listening public when the staff themselves are the ones that need to know whether or not they are keeping their jobs. In reality, all paid programming will be off the air by next week. This will affect every aspect of the daytime programming grid. Particularly, it will affect the news, which I know is of incredible importance to the listening audience, and it is my goal and the goal of the station to bring back some semblance of local news coverage as soon as we are able to do so. The PD I brought in, rather than being a California PD, as you put him, was a New York PD here at WBAI for a solid period of time and has deep respect amongst many programmers and producers and a wide understanding of our market. And I have to make decisions right now. The fate of this radio station, honestly, is in the balance as to whether it continues to exist. And dealing with a situation where you have no margin of error left, perhaps if someone had done something 5 years ago or 10 years ago or any of these years, there would have been a way to make some course correction. And we are no longer there. There is no money. There's been this implication that somehow Pacifica is withholding money. Pacifica has no money because of paying WBAI's payroll. There is nothing left. We've never had a development director in years, something that could have helped all of the stations, including WBAI, because all of my predecessors chose not to confront this problem and to fund those necessary positions to support these stations, but rather to simply cover the deficits. And those are the realities, and they're horrible realities. And they are what they are. And if we don't Well, A, I have no choice but to address the situation right now because I have to find the payroll for next week. But beyond that, if one does not address oneself to fixing these problems immediately, there will be no WBAI. And I don't know how to say that. It's bleeding at such an extensive rate. It's so expensive to operate in New York City that if we don't get the situation in hand right now, not only is there a chance that WBAI will cease to exist, but that it can pull the whole network with it. And we can't let that happen. Pacifica is far too important. We are the biggest, most important radio broadcast entity in the community radio environment. When I was at the National Federation for Community Broadcasters, we're the big guys. Wow, us in all this trouble. We're these big, important players because we have all this fantastic programming that comes out of our stations that we supply to literally 200 affiliates, low-power FMs, tribal stations, community radio stations, people that have one paid employee, two paid employees, those kind of stations that aren't talking about laying off payroll that runs $120,000 a month, but don't have any payroll because they don't have any staff, and they wouldn't have any programming if we didn't exist. So our existence is important not just to these five radio stations, but to the entire community of alternative broadcasters that want to put out stuff that actually criticizes, analyzes, it really deals with what's going on in this world where we are being surveilled to death, where we have a government which thinks we have absolutely no rights. Let's be honest. We're important in what remains of anything resembling a free society. And I am doing everything I can to save this station so that we continue to have a radio station in the biggest market in the entire country, because New York City is really important. You know, urbi et orbi, from the city to the world. This is the city of the world, New York City. This is it, right here. And we've got this fantastic, fantastic, huge microphone and speakers to the largest city in the country that everybody listens to. And we're at the precipice of, does this continue to be? Do we continue to have a station? Or does it cease to exist because nobody takes action? So action is what has to be taken. And it's going to be a rough ride. And I don't for any moment think that this is like smooth sailing. And hey, new programming next week, it's all going to be fantastic. Because the programming changes being made are not the eventual programming changes that will be WBAI when it finishes unfolding in its new self on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Not in Manhattan, not on Wall Street, not in a huge, tall, expensive building that costs us $40,000 a month, the new WBAI. But it's going to be rough waters for a while because what we got to put up on the air is stuff that's ready to go on the air. It's just reality. It's radio. Something's got to be on the air Monday morning. So I'm going to ask you to bear with us because the desire here is to save the station and to continue to serve everyone and to have this incredible outlet open. There are no other radio stations in the country that have 200-300 volunteers producing unique programming that bring music on that you don't hear anywhere else. We're totally unique. And despite what's going on with, obviously we have to move into digital media. There are all these platforms that we have to engage in to bring in a young audience because you need to bring in new people all the time. But we also have these fantastic broadcast signals and they're worth saving. And that's what we're doing here. Next caller, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, am I going to be on?
You are on.
But she's talking on the radio. I'm on?
You are, dear. Yes, please. Go ahead.
Oh, let me turn my radio off.
Okay.
Okay. I'm an 85-year-old listener who doesn't have a computer.
And there you go, huh?
And there are some bread and butter things. I'm listening to you, and I am shocked or horrified by what's going on. I have some bread and butter suggestions, which are so small that I don't know if they'll solve a pittance of it, but a little bit. Let me
sure.
tell you.
Thank you.
I've been disturbed by the 516 phone call, which is a NASA number, not a New York City number, and people use a phone company that charges by the minute for that call. They won't tend to call. Another thing, I can't tell people to listen to WBAI because they're going to hear pitching.
I know.
And even I turn off when I hear pitching. That's somehow not the solution to how to raise money to do it that way. One thing I want is to know when Wolf is going to be on. Not just Democracy Now. I know when that's going to be on. But there are other programming that if I would receive a schedule. Now I know you're having constant changes in the schedule. So you can't print a permanent schedule, but some things, if you can get some regular times, ecological things like that, I never know when anything's going to be on, so that I don't set my time for that. I don't set my schedule. It's hard to know because I'm not hearing the radio or anybody. I don't know if anybody's hearing me. You know, I'm shocked that $2 million Democracy Now, of course she has a large staff, and I don't know exactly how much her payroll is. But $2 million as opposed to $120,000 a month means that there's a whole staff which isn't being shared with the rest of WBAI. Is anybody listening?
Yes, ma'am. We are right here. I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Say it again?
I'm hearing you loud and clear. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's good to have a little feedback.
Yes, ma'am.
Know if you have any, if any of your suggestions might be useful. Did the transmitter cost $50,000 a month before Sandy?
Oh, yes. See, we have an escalating clause. The Empire State is the tallest point in Manhattan. It's the best transmitter location in the city. And people think there are like a bunch of other transmitter locations. There aren't. They're all expensive, and it's the one that gives us the reach that we have that gets us to the tri-state area. It's extremely desirable, and it's extremely expensive, and it goes up every single year. And just let me correct that. Amy Goodman's not $2 million a month. We're not able to pay her, so it's $2 million accrued. It's less than $1 million a year, but it's like $650,000. And the difference, let me give you a scale. See, Democracy Now! Was born and, you know, raised at WBAI, but it's an entirely separate production now. We pay for it. It's that simple. And, you know, that show has the same budget to make one show that we have to run the entire network, all seven units, five radio stations, a national office, and an archives unit. Our entire collected budget for all of everything we do is between $13 and $14 million a year. The entire budget for Democracy Now! Is between $13 and $14 million a year. We don't get any of that. To address your other thing about what I call fund drive death spiral, clearly we need other sources of funding. There has not been, over the years, an effective strategy at seeking additional resources. We have all the, you know, internal political debate about who you take money from, obviously. So we don't take underwriting. We don't take corporate money. But we don't really take grant money either. We're not like out there aggressively pursuing all sorts of funding. Democracy Now! Gets a ton of grant money. We don't get any grant money virtually. So it's an entirely different dynamic. Something, you know, one has to keep one's, shall we say, political integrity and be careful who you take money from, lest they buy your voice. But there's money out there that we can get. I mean,
forgive me for talking over. I just want to remind you that this is a rebroadcast. This is not a live program. It's a rebroadcast from Friday afternoon, this last Friday, of a report to the listener on the current status of WBAI. That's where you're tuned, WBAI New York. Summer Reese, Executive Director of Pacifica, speaking, and Andrew Phillips. But it's a recording. This is not happening now, so no point calling in.
Help support our operation so we're not so dependent. Clearly, this year has been unbearable for the listeners, I think, on some levels. We have never really gone out of fund drive. We've just been in fund drive on and off continuously. And that's because we've never made enough to actually get out from under it for a minute. And because the costs, the fixed costs in New York City are so high, so very, very high. We're talking $250,000 a month every month without blinking and without contributing a dime to the rest of the network for things that we have to pay for that also benefit BAI. So those dynamics can change. They really, really can. But it's going to take a lot of effort. And I want to hand, I really hear what you're saying about not knowing when a program that you value is going to be up on the air. And I want to pass this over to Andrew, who has a lot of experience in these things, just to sort of address that. I mean, things are going to continue to change for a while here, but I feel there's going to come a place where we have a greater reliability for the listener, so you know that something you care about is going to be on a certain day.
And I just want to say you're listening to WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York City, and what a pleasure it is to say that after about 20 years. You know, look, if I'm going to be rough, and I'm going to be kind later. If our programming was so great, we would be getting more money, okay? It's just a matter of fact that Pacifica's programming has not been adequate enough to raise the money. I mean, that's evident. Now, there may be a small core audience that enjoys the current programming, but the fact is that you have been supporting the station, you alone, and it's not enough to ask you to dig deeply into your pockets again and again and again, and to have these ongoing continuous fund drives which drive many listeners away and certainly will not attract new listeners. That is the death spiral that I think Summer's addressing, is talking about. We have to reach out to new audiences and much bigger audiences, and it exists in this city. It certainly exists in the new media technologies. Let me throw this idea out. How many years do you think the word Twitter, apps, Facebook, smartphone, these are words that have probably been around, what, 5 or 6, 7 years? Before that, we didn't even hear of them, and exponentially they've changed the media market. And we in Pacifica, because we're a little bit old-fashioned, we have not jumped on the bandwagon. We have not been able to adapt and change as we should have. And Dr. Block, I think, was telling us that he was in the doctor's office and everyone's listening to their smartphone devices, as I was listening to mine on the cab ride coming up here listening to BAI. It's absolutely true that we've got to develop those media outlets in a much more aggressive manner. Geography has been dissolved by these media, meaning that you can listen in St. Petersburg to WBAI and you can listen in Sydney, Australia to WBAI. All around the world, there is a potential market for our programming. Our programming is for everybody. When we mention the word, when we say the word community, there's a huge community in New York City, and it's a no-brainer. There's a huge community in this world of ours, and they are available if we can find them, if we can get to them, if we can provide them with the kind of programming that they find important, educational, that sustains them and encourages them and supports them in their lives and makes life better for them. That is possible. Fact of the matter is we are going to be hearing programs from other stations around the Pacifica network and outside of the network too. And the fact is, I believe that these programs will be exciting. They are exciting programs. They're programs that have been very successful at other stations. And whether they come from this station or another station, to some extent, doesn't matter anymore, because we live in this multimedia, geography-free environment. And we have to support that, and we have to provide programming to that audience that feeds their interest and their desire beyond what we have been doing at WBAI, which just simply has not been successful. Now, I'm sorry to talk a little bit rough, but it's just the fact of the matter, and that's why we're in this position today. We have to change. It's not an easy situation. We have to face it, and it's going to be rough, and I'm going to get a lot of heat for it, and I'm prepared to take it. It's just the way we have to move forward, and I hope you'll be supportive, and I think you'll be really surprised when you hear some of these programs. I know some of these producers personally. They do great programming. They're very well received at other stations. Many of them are already on other stations. Richard Wolff, for instance, I think most of you would agree that's a great program. That comes out of WBAI. We picked up Richard Wolff at KPFA, and it's been very well received at KPFA, just as it has at other stations. I'm sure it's on PFW or not.
I think it's on K now too.
Very well received program. So WBAI has provided some programming, as Summer said. Certainly Democracy Now! Was one of them. Michio Kaku was one of them. There are other programs here that could go out nationally too. We need to be more cognizant of the fact that we are a network, and we need to glean the very best of what we have, acknowledging that we have a responsibility to serve a much wider audience.
Thank you, Andrew. Do we have another call, Michael? Thank you. You're on the air.
Okay. I've been a listener sponsor since 1979.
Thank you.
And I am brokenhearted that the station is in the condition that it is, and that we as the listeners, were not informed prior to the nightmare that you're presenting today. I also could not find how it was conceivable that you'd be worried about finding a building to have you all in the same place when you don't even know if you're going to be existing on the air. These changes in program that you're speaking of, which are not being delineated, is very concerning to all of us listening, because we all have famous programs or favorite programs that we like to listen to, and we don't know which ones are going to be on the cutting block, chopping block. I would pray that what you have planned for the station would not be antithetical to the community-based programming for which this station is renowned.
Thank you. Let me address your first concern in terms of finding a building. We had no choice but to find a building. We're paying $37,500 a month at Wall Street. It's part of what broke the station's back over the last 10 years, to be perfectly honest. We were displaced by Hurricane Sandy, and what we are paying now is an unbelievable fraction of that. We have to have a home somewhere if we are going to continue to broadcast. And it's very difficult on our producers, I mean, especially our volunteer programmers, to have the station spread out over two campuses, as it were. The goal of bringing it together under one roof is so that it can continue to survive, because disbursement is something that can definitely lead to dissolution, and that is not what we want to see happen here. I spent literally almost a month here in February and March. I have a child. I didn't see him for the longest time that I've ever not seen him in his entire life, because I stayed here. And part of what I did was go on the air constantly, raise money, and explain what was going on financially. At that time, we were particularly talking about the transmitter because we were in court, because they were about to break our lease and kick us off the tower, and we wouldn't be broadcasting from anywhere. So we had to come up with a lot of money, and we had to come up with it really fast. This has been a long time coming. This didn't happen since I became ED. It is 10 years of this until every resource is gone. And so it's a reality thing. It has nothing to do with all the emails I'm getting where people say, examine your conscience. I am examining my conscience, and my conscience says, do what is ever is necessary to save this radio station mm-hmm. and keep it up on the air. We are going to honor community programming because that's who we are. We're still going to have fantastic volunteers producing fantastic radio. The vast majority of our programming is produced by volunteer programmers. The vast majority. You're going to hear much of that. The primary grid that will be affected is the daytime grid, and that's a reality. Tonight will be the last news broadcast of the wonderful WBAI news team. They know this is their last broadcast. We talked about it. So they're going to talk to you about that on the news broadcast tonight. But it doesn't mean the end of news at BAI. We're going to have to figure out how to rebuild that. The same news team wants to make sure that they stay involved and that we still have news. This is the commitment and the love that people have for BAI, including the people that are being most dramatically affected by this, our staff. And, of course, you next, the listeners. And, you know, it's our commitment to provide programming which serves the listening audience's needs. We're Pacificans. We know what Pacifica Radio is. And, yes, it might be a slightly different flavor this week, or next week, or the month after that. But we're going to do everything we can to provide quality programming that serves your needs. And we hope you'll adjust with us and work with us and recognize that this isn't being done for, you know, it's not some abstract reason. It's not a programming reason. It's a purely, purely direct reason, which is we have to do something right now. And we hope that you'll continue to support and love this station, including it's gone through millions of changes in the last 50 years. And it'll go through a bunch more if it's going to continue to be a broadcast entity in the New York City market. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Claudette.
Good afternoon, Claudette.
Calling from Flushing, Queens.
I was out there last week.
Pardon me?
I was out there last week. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Great little town we have here.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, is there any chance that Ralph Shulman will be brought back?
I guess I could look, at this point, it's hard to say exactly what will be brought back to KPF WBAI. We certainly have new programs coming soon, and these programs will be given 13-week, I use this word informally, contracts. Though we're telling producers, look, we're going to try the idea out. You've got 13 weeks to try the idea out. Try the show out and see how it works with the WBAI audience. I don't know about Ralph Shulman. I know of his work. I can't tell you.
Well, when I was used to come down to the station and volunteer, you know, during fundraising, a lot of people used to call in and donate when he was on, because right. especially after 9/11,
yes,
and he came and did that commentary. That's what brought him to people's attention.
So, yes.
And as far as I know, he was, you know, pretty successful.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a lot of programs that could be on the air. We cannot say at this point. I'm sorry. Just can't tell you whether that would
All
whether
right.
he
well,
would be
I hope
on the
you'll
air.
Consider him.
Thank you for your suggestion, Claudette.
Thank you,
Claudette. And to be clear, I really want the audience to understand we're going to be making programming changes. This is a very short term turnaround on that. There are going to be more programming changes, so please bear with us. There's going to be a series of programming changes. It's a rebuild of WBAI so that we continue to exist. So some of them you'll like, some of them you won't like. I mean, that's radio, and we're going to do the best we can to make sure it's good radio and that it's Pacifica Radio that you will find, you know, really meet some of your needs.
And I just want to say, I think Maya Shulman also used to be on with Ralph. Am I correct? Yeah. For instance, let me just mention a few of the changes that we've got in line so far. And I have to say, I was brought on board, like, this is my third day as an interim program director. And yesterday we spent time thinking about what might work here in the interim at WBAI. I'm sorry to keep on saying KPFA. It is another Pacifica station. The morning format at WBAI will be abandoned. We will be starting at 5 o'clock in the morning with a program from KPFK called Background Briefing with Ian Masters. It's a program that's been very successful over there. It's somewhat left of the center. It's not a very quote unquote radical program, but I think it's a generalist program. The morning drive, which runs from 5 o'clock in the morning till 10, will be revisited. Some of the programs will be remaining in place, the 9 o'clock hour programs. Some of them will be remain in place. The Center for Constitutional Rights will be there. For instance, our Native American program, Native Voices, I think that's on Thursday, that will be remaining. But there will be some new programs too. For instance, Project Censored will be coming on Tuesday. Great program, Project Censored. They've been around for 30 years. I don't know if many people of you know them. They started a new program over on the West Coast. It's been really successful and is now being syndicated. And you'll hear that on Tuesday. You'll hear Against the Grain, which is an intellectually radical, stimulating program with C.S. Sung. He will be here. I think we'll be running, as I said, Native Voices on Thursday. Democracy Now will remain at 8 o'clock in the morning, but Democracy Now will also be for now repeated at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when we used to start the talkback show. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll be bringing in Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. A great program. You may have heard her in some of the national programming that we've produced. You may know that back in November, we, Summer and myself and some other producers from the West Coast, raised almost $200,000 for WBAI. And some of the voices you heard on that program, you'll hear here on WBAI. For instance, Margaret was part of that and did a great show. She's been on other national broadcasts as well. Mitch Jezerich does a program called Letters and Politics. He's a former WBAI news producer. He was also worked with FSRN. Mitch will be here with Letters and Politics at 5 o'clock in the evening, 4 days a week. And the fifth day, Richard Wolfe will be moving to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He'll be moving from Saturdays. There's some of the morning and some of the afternoon lineup changes, just some of them. There will be a lot of other changes as well. I can't go through them all now because, quite frankly, it's all in flux. They will be, you'll hear them pretty soon. The way I look at this, we're rolling out new programs, and quite frankly, we don't have much to lose right now. We've got to make change. To some extent, we've got a few weeks to try some ideas out. We are going to roll some of these programs out. We're going to try them out, and certainly by the end of next month, we will be able to start to publicize and talk much more about what's working at WBAI and hopefully start to rebuild audience. We've got to reach out into new audiences. We've got to invite some younger people in. And as many of you know, we've got to expand our media platform. We've got to get better at using the internet. And I'm dedicated to helping us do that.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay. Thanks, Andrew. Do we have another caller, Mike? Thank you, Michael.
May I make a suggestion that you stop with the premiums? For people like me, you can do some premiums, but premiums aren't the main thing. But I don't want to pledge. I want to send in the money. Give me a stage. Give me a box number.
Yes.
You know, let us not go in that standard thing so that people wait for the premium they want so that they do it. That's the best way. And I'm very excited with the suggestions now about the new programming. This is very good. Why don't you, maybe Progressive Magazine will contribute a page with information about WBAI.
Look, there's so much we can do. Who are we talking to? What's your name, ma'am?
Harriet.
Hi, Harriet. Well, there's so much we can do, isn't there?
Yes, I think so. Cross-pollination with other media platforms and other, you know, alternative media outlets is one of the really important things. I mean, you know, it's getting out into the digital platforms, but it's also, yes, you know, actually doing things with our colleagues.
By the way, the premiums where you're getting people to buy archives and things like that, you're telling them, don't listen to WBAI, listen to the premiums.
Well, we've become far too premium-driven. Yes, I think everyone recognizes that. You know, the real basis of listener support in public radio is because you value the programming. You support the programming is the product. That's the thing you're supporting.
You have to know when it is so that you can listen. And,
yes.
And not spend half the time of the program pitching, of course.
Oh, boy, we need to do better. And I have to say, it's not just at WBAI we suffer from this situation. All of the Pacifica stations suffer from this. Trust me, I hate to say that. It comes out of my mouth. It usually means don't trust me. we are working on it. We definitely are working on it.
The idea, which I just thought of asking the liberal and progressive magazines to contribute a page on which you can tell about your programming.
Yes. Well, it's a good idea, you know, but I don't want to sound negative, but until we have, quote-unquote, a product, a radio product that we can really stand up and be really proud of and know that instead of having 18,000 listeners here at WBAI currently, that's such a small number of listeners. We need 30, 40. There was a time when WBAI had 60,000 listeners. You know, if you've got 60,000 listeners each contributing $25, do the math. We don't need premiums if we've got that number of listeners.
Well,
we don't.
When you're pitching, you're not talking about the people who pay $25.
That's right.
Anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's turning me off.
That's
you know?
Right.
It turns a lot of people off, Harriet. We're gonna do everything we can to change these dynamics and get back to a place where people support it because they love what they're listening to.
You've got to look at the morning drive and you've got to look at the afternoon drive. You've got a huge audience in those moments, and you can't be doing a highly targeted niche programming at that time. You've got to appeal to the I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. You've got to appeal to the Don Imus audience. You've got to appeal to the Howard Stern audience. You've got to appeal to the NPR audience. There's a lot of people that cross-listen to WBAI, and you'd be surprised, as well as to those programs. But if there's nothing on WBAI that holds their attention, they're going to go back to NPR or to those other programs. Let's
go
get
ahead.
Another
Next
call,
caller,
Michael.
Please.
Yes, hi, my name is Nikki Hoshida.
Hi, Nikki.
First of all, I just find it really off-putting that you keep touting the station's value and how you see yourselves as martyrs when you're making unilateral decisions. What is public radio without the ability of the public to weigh in? And can you actually answer the question of how program decisions will be made moving forward, not a month from now, but immediately? And my second question is, for you, Summer, as a labor advocate, quote unquote, is there a gag order disallowing staff from speaking publicly about what's happening at our station?
No, there's no gag order. The news department asked if they were going on the air this evening. And I said, of course, I trusted their professionals, and of course they could go on the air and discuss what was going on. So, no, I mean, everyone is free to speak. Completely. And I don't see myself as a martyr. I wasn't crying for myself. I'm crying for the staff that's losing their job. Okay, this is really one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my whole life, quite frankly. This is, you know, on many levels, a tragic situation that the station has come to this point. It really is. But if you want to save a patient that is in this much trouble, you do everything that is necessary to do that. And when it comes to making program decisions, I mean, I have to say, I brought in someone whose judgment I trust to make those decisions, because someone has to actually do the work. Despite what everyone thinks, one has to actually take a look at what's going on and say, what are we doing on Monday?
Yeah, try sailing a boat without a skipper. See what happens. You've got to have someone who's going to have to make decisions. And at some point, and I say the former staff at WBI will say, we had a program council here when I was here, and this was back in the days when Mario Maria was here and Samori Marksman was here. Amy Goodman was in the newsroom. We had a program council, and it was a program council that worked. Right now, we're in a triage situation. If we don't make immediate decisions, we're going down the tubes, and we'll be down the tubes by the end of the month. We have to put programming on the air this Monday, proven programming that has worked at other stations and raised $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 in 1 hour, not $800. This is what we've got to do. This is what we've got to do. It's no joke. You mightn't like it, ma'am, but this is what we've got to do. Sorry to be so harsh, but this is what we've got to do.
It's literally life or death for WBA at this point, and that's really what we're talking about. There will be many, many, many changes, but it is all done with the spirit of saving this station, and that is what all of us are doing here, every single one of us. Do you have another caller, Michael? Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you. We're doing as well as we can. Go ahead, you're on the air, please.
I really have to say, first of all, your management at BAI, Mr. Reimers, has been, like, totally inaccessible, and a lot of people are very, very angry about that. I think that you guys need to put on a massive fundraising concert and draw on the resources. You have, like, Bob Fast, or had Bob Fast, if he's gone now, who introduced New York and the nation to Bob Dylan and so many great names. You know, I've tried to put this station in contact with the people at WFUV, a college station here, who do fundraising concerts and are very successful at it. Mm-hmm. And I really wish that you would go in that direction. I also think that maybe WBAI has to start taking on selective commercials to raise money. It's not such a bad idea if it's done carefully. It doesn't mean every company. Also, we need to get rid of this LSD thing and stop spending money on it. It's just ridiculous. And also, if you have to switch frequencies in order to save the station and lose your bloody antenna on the Empire State Building, maybe that's what you have to do in order to keep the radio station. Maybe you have to consider that.
So we've got about 7 minutes to go. I'd like to respond to just some of the questions points you bring up. First of all, Bertel Reimers has been working basically single-handed at WBAI for many years. He's the one, he does the premiums, he's the business manager, he's the general manager, he's tried to be a program director, and he's tried to answer the phones at all. It's impossible. He's been under impossible pressure, okay? So I think it's unfair to lay it at his feet. This has partially been the problem with Pacifica, as Summer Reese has said. This problem's gone back 10 years. It's not a recent problem. Secondly, WFUV is a music station. BAI is not. We can't do the kinds of things that FUV does, and we don't have the staff to organise these things. Organising concerts takes a lot of money, and if you don't organise it properly, you lose a lot of money. Okay, you've got to be very careful with that. Corporate underwriting does not raise much money for public stations. It raises some money. And similarly, you've got to have an organisational structure. You've got to have business people, sales people, and we don't have that kind of personnel here. You have to have people to run it. We've been running on a wing and a prayer at this radio station for many years. We just don't have the resources for those kinds of suggestions at this moment.
Thank you. Another caller, Michael? Okay, you might be our last caller because we're almost up at the hour. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Summer, and thank you so much for all the work you have done. I really appreciate it and am behind what's been said.
Thank you.
My main point is about the transmitter. I heard that WOR, they've been doing maintenance on their transmitter. That's a clear channel station at this time. Their transmitter is in Rutherford, New Jersey. Now, I don't know, as you said, I heard you say it, they're all expensive. But if people we might have some very brilliant people out in the audience, there may be other alternatives to still have a 50,000 watt somehow. I mean, up on some mountain somewhere that we... Yeah. You know, someone constructs themselves, something like that. So it's just something I wanted to put out there. And I think we must keep the license. I'm not for just being on internet and stuff.
No.
We have to. And also, I have heard over and over for many weeks now that this was coming. So whoever, you know, maybe they just weren't listening at that time when the people on the radio said it. But it's mainly my point is about the transmitter. And that's all I had to say. And thanks so much. You're doing a great job. And thank you to Andrew as well.
Can I just jump in here? We've got 5 minutes
go ahead,
to go.
Andrew.
Probably room for one or two calls. You know, whilst the transmitter costs a lot of money, finding a new transmitter, that's not going to solve the problem. It's bigger than a transmitter. Mm-hmm. And we do have this very powerful transmitter. To the extent we can hang on to it, I believe we should. If we did go to Rutherford, New Jersey or elsewhere or Westchester with some talk of that, what we should be and what we will be doing is expanding more onto the internet, seeking more listeners that way, I think. I don't think changing the transmitters would make a lot of difference. It's been a drain on the station, but because we make so little money proportionally, it's a lot of money, but we need to get much more money than we're currently getting. Michael, can we get another caller, please?
Thank you. I think he's right on there. I'm just going to pick up on that real quick. Just think of Manhattan. It's the buildings act like mountains. It's like canyons, and without going into a long technical thing, but the contour and all of that. Going to many other locations means you do not penetrate the Manhattan skyline anymore with your signal. So we are in the most advantageous location. And then let me put listenership in perspective really quickly for you. The vast majority, all of the Pacifica stations, we occupy 1/10 of 1% of the market.
We're talking about the top five markets, basically.
The top five markets. We have the best licenses. We have the strongest, oldest licenses. And we are in the biggest markets. And in every one of those markets, we occupy less than 1% of the market share. 1/10 of 1%. This is why we're in all this trouble. We have very dedicated listeners who don't have enough
yes,
of them
do.
To
yes,
survive.
Yes,
and that's
do.
What has to change. Okay, yes, so just that's the perspective here. That's really what we're talking about on numbers. If we occupied 2/10 of 1%, we'd actually be okay.
Like, let's take one more call.
One more call.
Yes, hello?
Thank you. You're on the air. Please go ahead.
Okay, I've been a listener to BAI since like 1971 when I was a teenager. I'm on and off a contributor. I am currently a subscriber. I am a current member. Now, I have a little bit different.
You got 2 minutes.
On the what you're talking about, the whole idea is money. In the case, I know you know this. Correct me if I'm wrong. A commercial station, by definition, needs large numbers of people. Everything they do is for ratings.
Yes.
Because they
ratings for the advertisers.
They sell airtime.
Yes.
Sure.
The price and the amount of ads they can do is based on their listenership, on the number of people listening.
Correct.
Now, I know you guys, of course, we want listeners because we have a message and we have information and we want to change society and have people hear things. But ultimately, those two things are separate.
30 seconds.
So go to rich, liberal people, left-wing people who are very wealthy, like Yoko Ono.
Okay, we get it. Okay, we get it. We've got to go, sir. Thanks for the suggestion.
Thank
Not
you.
The first one to suggest this, by the way. Summer.
Yes,
take
we'll invite the rich people on down too. But thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. And please know that we are completely committed to you, to New York City, and to WBAI. And we're going to get through all this, and we're going to continue to have a
and
fantastic
thanks to
station.
The staff, Summer.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to everyone. All the staff, remaining and leaving, we appreciate you and we value.
Keep listening, folks. Tune in on Monday. Tell us what you think. Andrew@wbai.org. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth. Hey.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning with us live is Chandler Klang Smith. We're also going to have a movie review, and I'm going to have to talk a little bit about the station, huh? Yes, we are here, we are live, we are not, at least I am not going away quite yet. Hopefully I will be with the station for a while longer. There's no news that Hour of the Wolf will be taken off the air. So, you know, WBAI may end up in, you know, the deeper doo-doo hole that we are already deep in. We're more than knee-deep. And that is why these horrible... The word I've been using online is draconian measures have occurred to the station. It sounds heartless to say this is something that was a long time in coming and might have been a little less painful if it had been done earlier. If it had been done a year ago, maybe instead of losing 3/4 of the staff, maybe we would have only lost 1/4 or half the staff or something like that. But I will say outright, that WBAI has been mismanaged for a very long time now, more than a decade. And we have been hemorrhaging money. And we're not the only Pacifica station that has done it. If you were listening to the Pacifica executive director and our new program director, just before on recording from last Friday, you know that. So, it's pretty crappy. You know, it's pretty sad and all that. But another way to look at this is this is a last-ditch attempt to save the station, okay? And one of the things that's going to have to happen, I agree with Summer Reese on one thing, which is that, and Andrew Phillips, who was, who I worked with when he was the program director 20 years ago, and he actually put me into the position of being a war correspondent right from our master control room. I hosted a daily show called The War Report during the first Iraq War because of my deep insight into politics. Now, anybody who knows me knows that's a joke. I have no insight into politics whatsoever, which is actually why he put me on, because anybody else would have to, you know, show their acumen or something. The point is that I wasn't afraid to ask, well, exactly how did Kuwait come into being? It's a different way of thinking, and Well, the funniest thing is when the show actually got reviewed in the Village Voice, and I was called a very canny, insightful kind of person. That's what came across. So we're going to be doing more experiments in radio, and it's really time that we did more experimental. Most of those changes at this time are going to be prime time. 5 a.m. to... morning drive and afternoon drive, okay? 10 hours a week. I wouldn't be surprised if this all ends up going network. They haven't said it, but... Just prediction. Okay. So, had to get that out. We have a review. Dan Persons has reviewed Elysium for us, and I haven't actually even listened to the review yet, so we'll all catch it together if I can figure out what drive I put it into. There it is. Okay, good. So we're going to listen to that, and then we I told you, Chandler, how informal it gets, where I can go in the air and go blah, blah, blah. And then we will talk with Chandler Klang Smith. Please stay tuned. I didn't edit that properly, did I?
Hour of the Wolf. Hey, I'm Dan Persons, movie critic for Hour of the Wolf. No doubt about it, Elysium is the best remake of Total Recall I've seen. Not literally, of course, not point by point, although there are weird little parallels that crop up here and there. But overall, there is something in this dystopic, man-against-the-system action-adventure film that suggests what Total Recall, the original one, might have been had it not starred walking cartoon Arnold Schwarzenegger and had director Paul Verhoeven not taken such an arch tone with his material. The star of Elysium is Matt Damon. The director is Neil Blomkamp, who previously did the low-budget and incisive Alien Refugees on Earth film, District 9, and who here brings the same cutting attitude, just on a more mainstream-friendly scale. As for the story, well, anyone who saw After Earth, all three of you, will have a bit of deja vu here. Some 150 years in the future, we've once again righteously bollocksed up the Earth. Pollution, global warming, you know the deal. This time, though, it's only the 1%ers who get their butts off the planet and into an orbiting space station called Elysium, the interior of which looks like every science fiction magazine illustration you've ever seen about an orbiting community. You know, the whole deal with the vast landscape arcs up into the distance. Specifically here, that landscape alternates between McMansions and replicas of the Garden of Versailles, and is actually quite convincing. Very good CG throughout this film. They've got their own government, they've got their own homeland security, headed up by Jodie Foster playing Dick Cheney's wet dream, and each luxury home, all of them apparently, has its own special medibed that can heal any disease. Because hospitals are just so third world, you know. As for the other 99%, well, they're stuck on Earth in vast slums, working poor, trapped in a system rigged to keep them down. Like District 9, there's more than a little reflection of the oppressive history of Blomkamp's South Africa here, although it's kind of amazing how easily the analogy can be flexed to reflect present social conditions in the U.S., most specifically the ongoing turmoil over Obamacare. The oppression goes double for Matt Damon's character, Max, a former car thief previously incarcerated and now trying to reform. Not that the man will let him, he just needs to fart in the wrong direction, and a few extra months of parole go onto his ankle bracelet. It doesn't help that an industrial